Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, September 24th, 2024. I am very happy to be with you today on this last Tuesday of September. Wow, amazing. It really is time to start Christmas shopping, or at least looking at catalogs. I'll have a million of them. I get one, I think, from everybody that puts a catalog out. So that's always fun to look through. Sorry. That's crazy. That happens just when it's time to come on air. So I know it's just a little bit of resistance, but I apologize for making that noise in your ear. Well, it really is fall now. It's like it was perfectly timed for the equinox this past weekend. It dropped, the temperature dropped. It had been in the 80s, and it dropped into the 60s, and it rained. This is on Sunday. Dropped into the 60s, and it rained all day, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And it's been in the 40s in the morning when Grace and I take our walk. It was like 49, 48 this morning. And it's cool as soon as the sun goes down. So it really is making a shift, but it was really kind of dramatic. It's like, okay, 80s. Oh, it's the equinox. Bam, 60s. It was just a really crazy. But it's lovely. It's just lovely. I'd rather dress warm for cool weather than, that's just my happy place. It's just really my happy place. And I wanted to mention, you know, the You Empowered classes began last week. I had taught the first class in the first series, and I had so much fun. I just had a blast teaching it. And it had been six years since I taught a class on 1-2 Academy. So I was really nervous. It was like, geez, do I even remember how to do it? How do I get in there? I must have practiced five times, just making sure I could get in. But it was just great. It was just great. I loved the curriculum, and it was really fun to see how it came through as the 2024 version. It really was, and I really noticed that. And so it was just great to be back on 1-2 Academy, and I'm looking forward to just teaching there on an ongoing basis. I'll run the prerequisite series again, probably after the first of the year. Well, I know after the first of the year, but probably soon after the first of the year. And, you know, right now it just feels like I'll teach the classes for as long as it feels like it's the right thing to do. And I'll know when it's not. But it was great. It was great. And I just thought I'd share that with you. And for those of you that were in the class, thanks for joining me. It was just, I got done and it was like, I could hardly go to sleep that night because it's like I just had, you know, 10 cups of coffee. I just felt wonderful. But anyway, I hope those of you in the class didn't, your ears weren't hurting from listening to me talk. I was on a roll. It's like, geez, who plugged her in? Anyway, thanks for being here today, listening. If you can, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I have another packed teaching segment today that I'm excited about, and you're welcome to ask questions about it or comment on it in the chat room. I'll answer those questions or comments after the show is over. If you would like a reading or healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning, Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately and will get back to you as soon as I can. I still have my Fall is in the Air 15-minute time-based session available. Just, you know, it's a beautiful change of season, which is a great metaphor for how everything is changing because we're in a physical incarnation. You know, constant change. Everything is temporal. Everything that comes into being leaves. Everything. And now this is new energy, just change that we can't ignore. Because if you live in a place where there are seasons, the season is changing. So it's a great reminder that, you know, fall is, to me, it, well, not to me. Fall is the time of the harvest in nature for farmers. It's the time of the harvest. They've worked all summer and you know, fed their crops, and now it's time to harvest. And so fall is also, I think, a good time to count your blessings. You know, to really look at what you have, what you have, what you love, what you appreciate. Because when you do that, it's number one, it's a bright and beautiful and expansive energy to feel, the energy of appreciation. But also, it just brings more. You know, it's like, oh, I like that. Oh, wait, I forgot about that. That's a really cool thing. That's a cool thing that happened. It just heightens our noticing ability, if I can use that term. And so, you know, just think about that. You know, what have you brought into your life that you love, that you enjoy? And even the things that came into your life that were not enjoyable, it's a no mistakes universe. Things don't happen by accident. Even when they're not what we would consider good or positive, there is something to be learned from them, because they all show us who we are and what we feel about things, what we believe. So even looking at that and appreciating those things actually kind of puts a different spin on them, you know? It takes them out of the negative category into maybe a neutral category and maybe even a positive category. So, you know, it's just a good time to appreciate and to be in this lovely, lovely energy of fall. Well, you know, we have, just a reminder, we have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 1-2 Listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 1-2listen.com and sign up for 1-2 Promotions. I'm going to move my, there we go. I was a little in the way. My microphone thingy off my headset. So the other thing that I want to remind you of is all of the shows from all of the hosts on 1-2 Radio are in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com. And that is a great way, really and truly, we're here to support you. That's my feeling. I think every one of the hosts here on 1-2 Radio talk about things that we love to talk about, share things, you know, different voices, different ideas. And we all learn in different ways. You know, we learn in different ways. There are, you know, we could hear three people say the very same thing, and probably one of them will resonate and the other two just won't. And it's not just that what they're saying is wrong. It's we resonate to teach. We have vibrations, right? We resonate with like vibrations. Like attracts like. We draw into ourselves our own. So, you know, it's. I encourage you to go to the archives and listen to somebody you haven't listened to before. Because like I said, I think we're all here to support. We are teaching from what we are passionate about. And, you know, it's there. So if you ever need something to do, or if you're, you know, trying to find something to do, pick a show. Listen to the show. See what you get out of it. The other thing that I want to remind you about is the gratitude board. And, you know, thinking about counting our blessings and what you appreciate, you can go to 1-2listen.com and just put down what you're grateful for on the gratitude board. And it's moderated by the advisors at 1-2listen.com. So we add our attention and intentions to yours. We add energy to what you put up there, whether it's in your experience or something that you're looking to bring in. Let us help. Again, it's another way we can support you. So right now, I want to say thanks to Jay, because like I said, I've got a lot to talk about, and I'm excited to talk about it. So I want to say thanks to Jay for producing the show and all that he does for us here on 1-2 Radio. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song by Zingaya called In the Between. This is from the Souls on Earth CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy, and I'll be right back after it's over. Thank you for being here. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. I'm happy you're here. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I thought it was a neat piece of music and kind of jazzy, and I like the Souls on Earth. For some reason that CD and just the name of that CD goes along with the changing seasons. So I'm hope you enjoyed it. And today I want to talk about demonstration. Manifesting what we want in our lives. And it's just it's been really fun to revisit, the old my old books, my original books from 15, 16 years ago, the New Thought teachers and people, and I've shared a lot of them. But it's really I don't know, it's different now because I'm different now, and I know I've said that before, but God always meets us where we are. So I'm getting more out of it, different things out of it now. And so I just want to share some of the stuff that I've learned, and some of the stuff that I've realized, not just learned, but realized. So, we are, first and foremost, we are self-complete, self-contained, capital S. The kingdom of heaven is within us, and so is everything we could possibly desire. Everything. Everything comes through us, through our consciousness of that truth. So today, I want to look at the things that support us in demonstrating our good and the things that impede us. So I want to start with the things that get in our way, because that's the only place to start. We only have so much space in our space. Our space is our consciousness. And you can think of it, you can think of it like you can think of our consciousness space. A great metaphor is your closet. There's only so much space in your closet. And unless you move stuff out, there's no room for new stuff to come in. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So it's the same concept, I should say. And if our consciousness, our space being our consciousness, is taken up by thoughts of fear and lack or unforgiveness, judgment or criticism, and at the same time we're trying to manifest money or a relationship or just a greater expression of our divinity, we're double-minded. Those things are mutually exclusive. And nothing is going to happen but frustration. Because what we believe, what we have the consciousness for, is what we will experience. And if we don't like what we've been experiencing, we have to look at those beliefs in order to release them to have room for what we do want to experience. So, Florence Scovel Shinn, I've been listening to one of her books, and I think I can't remember what it was. It could have been, I don't know, Your Word is Your Wand or something like that. It wasn't The Game of Life. But she made a statement that really is a really different way of saying something I already know. But she said, you combine with what you notice, which is the same thing as you attention grows what it is focused on. You combine with what you notice. So if we're focused on problems, then those problems take over. And when we're focused on problems, typically we're in the emotion that they bring up in us, the feelings that they bring up in us, which are not good, typically, not feelings that we want to entertain, not where we want to be emotionally. And we're not available to solutions. It's like when you're worrying, when you're in a worry spin, and again, worry is being afraid because I'm afraid, Alan Watts, that just compounds itself, then when you're in that emotion, you're not available to solutions. You're not, because your head is full, your emotions are full, and you're just going down the rabbit hole. So it's, we're demonstrating what we desire, our intentions. It's not just believing we can have the thing that we want in our lives, but clearing our consciousness of what we don't want. I mean, that really is the first step. And that's something that I don't know, just at first glance. You can you have everything you need is in your consciousness because you are your consciousness is God, is the kingdom of heaven within you, and you can have it. Well, yes, you can. But then it comes down to, can you have it? Can you have it? You can, as a blanket statement, because it belongs to you, it's part of you, but can you demonstrate it? Can you bring it from where it is as the truth of your being into your physical experience? So I just want to talk about a few of the things that we can consider as being impediments to our demonstration. Because here's the other part of it. You have to be that thing that you want to experience, right? You have to become it. And so, again, releasing the things that are contrary to it, that contradict it, has to happen in order to develop the consciousness of being that thing you desire. So, a big one is unforgiveness. If we're holding unforgiveness, anybody in unforgiveness, or we can't forgive someone is a less awkward way to say it. No matter how justified we feel in not forgiving them, we're only hurting ourselves. We never forgive anybody for them. It's always for ourselves. It's always to release a burden. And my favorite quote about unforgiveness, my favorite ever, is Joel when he said, "Only that which I release can be released in me. Anything that I hold is held against me." Whatever you release, you're released from. What you cling to is that which is binding you. You are your own liberator. And that's huge. I mean, that's just huge. And I know that there are times when it's really, really difficult to forgive someone. I know that. And I'm not glossing it over. But I'm telling you're not going to be free until you do. And I'm not going to gloss that over either. That's the truth of it. And we, each of us, is our own liberator. Not only where forgiveness is concerned, but judgment, criticism, condemnation, our own self-concept. We are our own liberator. And working on these things, addressing these things, is what clears the way for our expansion. Period. So, what's binding me? Is a brilliant question to ask in meditation. What belief is holding me back from truly being what I want to be? What is affecting my self-concept? I mean, aside from unforgiveness, what else binds us? Judgment, criticism of others, and especially of ourselves, especially. What else binds us? Guilt, shame. Just, I mean, there are a lot of things. So, being able to just sit in a meditation and ask that question, what's holding me back? What do I believe that's holding me back? If you do that, or, I'm having a tough time in this area. I can't get past this. What belief is at the bottom of this? And just follow the breadcrumbs. If you sit and you ask in a meditation and you are truly quiet and you're in that space, like in your sixth chakra, your center of head, then you're gonna see and get answers, and it's typically like breadcrumbs. here's this. Oh, okay. Then you address that. And then here's something else. Before you typically get, and this is my in my experience of this very, very productive exercise. It's this. Oh, okay. You take care of that. You feel free of that. And then it's like, and then it's this. It takes a bit to get to the very bottom of what you truly believe, but when you get there, it disappears because it's lost all its power. It's been stripped of its power as you get to the place where you can look it in the eye. And that is phenomenal. That you are truly liberated from that thing when you get to that place. And it's very, very powerful and effective practice, an effective practice. So, as I said, aside from judgment, I'm sorry, aside from forgiveness, judgment and criticism truly do bind us. And those are a couple of things that, that we do, I think, without thinking. We do it without thinking. It's just kind of part of it. Opinions, judgments, criticism, none of it's true. None of it's true. It's just all based on opinion, which is not truth, only true for the person who holds it. Same with judgment. But Stuart Wilde said, when we judge anything, we drop to the level of the thing that we judge. Now, of course we do. Of course we do. Because we cannot recognize in another what we're not conscious of, right? So that thing that we're judging is a part of our consciousness. Or we wouldn't judge it. We wouldn't judge. It wouldn't even register, right? It would not register if it were not part of our consciousness. So, we really do ourselves no favors by criticizing someone else. Because for every negative thing we say or think about someone, our stream gets muddied. It always comes back on us. And that negativity sits in our consciousness until we clear it out. And again, we're looking to, if we're looking to manifest something, a new step, a new anything in our lives, now here comes something else, that we're defeating our purpose. We're defeating our purpose. And it sits in our consciousness until we clear it out because this is a world of cause and effect. They're at instant karma. Karma is a thing done, right? Well, a thing done is never just a thing done. It affects what's done. It affects. There's a ripple effect to everything. And Florence Scovel Shinn calls it boomerangs. Calls them boomerangs because they're always going to come back to us. Always. So it's important to be conscious of that. And when we do it, just get rid of it as quickly as we can. Get rid of it, sacrifice it, just and don't compound it by judging ourselves for it. sacrifice the whole thing. Just sacrifice. Give it away to God. Give it away. Sacrifice it to the void. Don't get lost in it. But we get what we give, period. I mean, that just in every area of life, we get what we give. So another big thing really that binds us is our story. I think we all have a story. And if it's an unhappy one, or if it's one that in any way portrays us as victims, it's really important to stop telling it. We will never get past it if we continue to tell it. It's impossible because we're continuing to give it life. And it is something, if it's in the past, it's dead. The you that experienced it is dead. Whoever else was involved is dead. We are now who we are. Who we were back then doesn't exist. The past does not exist. It's gone. And, it is very difficult to bring something new and different into your life if you are dragging your past with you. It doesn't, and I mean, even, think about it. If it's a story of, well, like I said, if there's any part of victim in it, you know, where you were cheated or you weren't treated well, or someone betrayed you, or whatever it might be, think about talking about it and how you feel when you're talking about it. That's instant karma, right? Because you're drugged back into, not only you're dragging the past with you, but it drags you back into it, complete with all the negative emotions. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And right here, right now, in this present moment, anything and everything is possible. Every good thing is right here in our consciousness in this moment. And we can have, quote unquote, have anything that we can, quote unquote, have. And that having means being. It means being. So, you know, thinking about talking about stories, stories, I think, are also known as beliefs. And they appear in many different areas of life. And really and truly, they kind of become scapegoats for what doesn't work for us. You know, I can't do this because so and so, because of so and so, because of such and such. I can't do it because that happened. That's not true. That's not true. We have to take responsibility for who we are and where we are right here and right now. And that's the other thing about telling stories. That's not taking responsibility for who and where we are right now. Whatever is sitting in our lap, good, bad, or indifferent, we brought here. If we brought it here, we can get rid of it. We can get rid of it by changing ourselves, by changing our self-concept. You know, concept of self, as Neville said, is all that we accept and consent to as ourselves. And that, because it's what we accept and consent to, we can accept and consent to other things. So we are never, ever a victim. We are never, ever at the mercy of anyone or anything unless we think we are, unless we believe believe we are. Irvin Seal said, you know, no one else's opinion has anything to do with you until you make it your opinion. Or I think he used the word thought. No one else's thought about you has anything to do with you until you make it your thought. So we always have a choice. We always have a choice. And we don't have to take those things on. And you know, there are things that are tough, things that are hard that happened to us in the past. I'm not denying it. I'm not denying that because I think it's probably happened to every person on this planet. But if we choose to live there, we're not going to get past it. You know? So, stories, as I said, appear in many different areas of life. Take relationships as an example. Relationships is a good one. Say you want to manifest one. Well, a good place to start is by asking in a meditation, what do I believe about relationship? If you want to manifest one, you don't have one. So you want something that you don't have. So what do you believe about it? What do you believe about it? What do you believe about yourself in relationship? What do you believe about other people in relationship? Look, I mean, when you go into meditation, I encourage you to imagine yourself filled with neutrality, especially when you want to look at beliefs about something as big as relationship. Look at your past relationships. Just look at them, and whatever feelings come up, release those feelings. I mean, you can imagine that you're sitting in a meditation quietly, that you're in a bubble. You know, you're in your bubble, and it's grounded, and you're grounded, and it's filled with neutrality. Just imagine that. And just imagine sitting next to you is this big trash can. You know, play. Just imagine, right? So every feeling that comes up that feels negative, you toss into that trash can. You just sacrifice it into that trash can. Or you can have it look like anything, but have a receptacle for what you want to get rid of. And as you get rid of it, it goes down the grounding cord. But just ask yourself, what do I believe about relationship? and look at your past relationships. Let every feeling that comes up come up. And forgive everyone involved. Forgive. As these feelings come up and you release them, forgive. Forgive everyone, but especially forgive yourself. Because I think we do a lot of kicking of ourselves, especially where a relationship is concerned. You know, how could I let myself get into that? And I don't mean, you know, how could I lose that? How could I let that go? I don't mean that. I mean, it's typically, well, that too. But I think it's typically, how could I let myself get into that? How did I let that happen? How, you know, how? And, you know, so there's a lot of things that can come up, that as well as, you know, any sadness, because it might be gone. But also, you know, in that, in looking at them and looking at your beliefs about them, also realizing that that was an experience and that does not determine the future. It does not. That's the purpose of this type of work, you know, of looking at your past relationships really boldly and having your feelings and releasing your feelings. Because if you have judgments, opinions, and fears about relationship based on your past, they are taking up space in your consciousness. And if a relationship happens to come in without having done the work, it probably will look just like the past ones. You know, how many of those have we had? Same person, different body. It just, and it's us, because we can only attract what we are. So we're the ones that clear things out in order to change our self-concept where relationship is concerned. That's the healing. That's the healing. You know, we have stories about money, about our bodies, about many different things. And when we address the beliefs and judgments that are limiting us in order to release them, what was negative in our experience becomes the fire of our purification. We are, after all, and above all, the individualization of Source. Negativity has no power other than the power we give it. So it's good to stop clinging to it and become free. The more space we have in our consciousness, the more light, the more space we have in our consciousness, the more good it can hold. And so now I want to shift from looking at, you know, what we can, what things that limit our experience, to how to get to the place where you can begin to create something new. And Neville's my go-to here. So Neville said, again, Moses stated, I am that I am. Now here's something to always bear in mind. You cannot put new wine into old bottles or new patches upon old garments. That is, you cannot take with you into the new consciousness any part of the old man. All of your present beliefs, fears, and limitations are weights that bind you to your present level of consciousness. If you would transcend this level, you must leave behind all that is now your present self or conception of yourself. To do this, you take your attention away from all that is now your problem or limitation and dwell upon just being. That is, you say silently but with feeling to yourself, I am. Do not condition this awareness, quote unquote awareness, as yet. Just declare yourself to be. And continue to do so until you are lost in the feeling of just being, faceless and formless. When this expansion of consciousness is attained, then, within this formless deep of yourself, give form to the new conception by feeling, capital F-E-E-L-I-N-G, yourself to be that which you desire to be. Feeling yourself to be it. you will find within this deep of yourself, all things to be divinely possible. That's powerful. That's powerful. Just be. Just feel yourself as I am, which means I am. You know, I am. I just am. I'm here. I am. It's just, that's so powerful and beautiful. And once you have the feeling of being the thing that you desire, once you've got it, you just continue to go into that deep, as Neville calls it, and feel yourself to be it. And that just reinforces it. That just reinforces your feelings. It just, and it's a simple thing, you know, and to keep it simple is important, you know, because you can focus on something simple. You know, I'm free. I'm free. There's really no limit to free, you know, or whatever it is. But you just continue to visit it, you know, to revisit it and feel yourself to be it. But you detach and leave it to the infinite self to manifest. All you're doing is you're revitalizing your feeling of being it. That's what you're doing. But how it comes to you, what that looks like, when, is none of your business. With your belief, with your feeling, your faith that you are it, that's what's impressed on that infinite divine mind. And that's what it will bring to you if you continue to believe it, you know, and have it. So, and this is where faith comes in. This is faith. This is faith. You are it in consciousness, and it will manifest because you are conscious of being it. You own it. You own it. You are it. And when you speak of it to yourself, and I say to yourself because you want to keep it within yourself, it's precious, it's sacred, then that's what you nurture. You know, your consciousness of being it. That's what you're nurturing. Your consciousness of being it. So, it has to manifest because you believe it. Cool. So while it's cooking, so to speak, while you're just nurturing your feeling of being it, you're not attached, you're not holding on to it, you don't have to because you're it, right? If you truly feel that you are it, then you don't have to make anything happen because you're it. And as I said, I'm repeating myself, but when you are it in your consciousness, you will see it in your experience. You have to. So while it's coming together, you know, my conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. So there's a big, I just like to see this big kind of swirling galaxy of potential, you know, that's all working together to come to manifest, you know, in physical reality. But while that's happening, it is important to take whatever action steps are necessary. Not to take over, not to make things happen, not to outline exactly how this is going to come to me, but to affirm that you already have your desire, that you're all in, so to speak, that you're invested in being that which you desire to be. We have our part to do in the demonstration process, because action always precedes demonstration. And the word action covers a lot of ground. Not a lot of ground. Action steps are demonstrations of faith on our part. And as James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead, or faith without action is useless. Whatever we want to demonstrate in our lives, whether it's something in the material or a better version of ourselves, takes an investment of faith plus action. So here's a personal example. Shannon and I were married for 15 years. We never took a vacation together. We traveled to a lot of different places for family events, you know, bar and bat mitzvahs, weddings, holidays, but never even a road trip by ourselves. We didn't do that. And I really don't know why, you know, but just thinking back on it. So, you know, one of the things on my master list of things to do this year was apply for a new passport because I want to travel. I want to travel. I met with a guy at the post office yesterday who witnessed my signature on my passport application and sent it off. So it's officially sent off. And I know I'm going to travel to Europe. I know it. And other places. I know that. I know it. It's just part of me, my consciousness. I don't know when, but if I keep feeling myself there, I will be there because I am there now in my consciousness. But no matter how much I feel myself there, I'm not going to get there without a passport. So that was my action step. And it felt really good. I mean, I can't even tell you how light I felt walking out of the post office. It just felt really good to get that done. Because once I got my passport the application filled out, I had to wait like 3 weeks to get an appointment because apparently they don't come to the post office that often, you know, just a few days, and it's a 15-minute appointment. And anyway, so it just felt great. It felt great, and that was an obvious action step. But what's funny is thinking about I want to travel is that I was at my brother and sister-in-law's house for Eloise and Sterling, my great niece and nephew, who are 4 and 2, their big birthday bash last Saturday, and my sister-in-law said, "We're talking about going to Palm Desert for Thanksgiving. What do you think about that? Do you want to go with us?" And I'm thinking, well, yeah, I want to go. And then I thought, well, travel. Here's an opportunity. Bam. Here's an opportunity to travel. It's California, but it's travel. And so, yeah, you know, as a family, this is a whole holidays this year is a whole different animal. You know, are a whole different animal. We have to navigate them in a different way without my mother and Shannon. So I think a trip to California will be lovely. They have a great place there, and I can work, and I can take Gracie with me. And, you know, I'm not sure what else I would do. You know, if they're going to be in at Thanksgiving, I don't know. But I know that's an opportunity, and I know that was a little kiss on the cheek from God too. And then Jared and Kristen asked me to come to Springfield for Christmas. I've never been with my grandchildren on Christmas Day, so I'm going to do that. But life has changed, you know, and I have to roll with it. And I think both holidays will be wonderful, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. But, you know, action, back to action. That was just my personal example of action steps. But action precedes demonstration in the practice of feng shui. I mean, that's kind of a big part of it. You know, the 9 areas of the Bagua all correspond to different areas of life. So there are ways to beef up or embellish them for the best possible outcome using the creative and destructive cycles. Take the master bedroom. No matter where it is located in the Bagua, it is the most important room in the house. And again, talking about relationship here, it's your sanctuary. It's where you go to rest and rejuvenate. And it's also the best place to work on relationship. Say you'd like to bring a partner into your life. Not only do you use the enhancements of the creative and destructive cycle, but you also do practical things, like sleep on one side of the bed. Have space in your closet for another person to hang their clothes. Have an empty drawer in your dresser for them. Have an empty shelf in the bathroom for their toothbrush, or a little space for their toothbrush. Park on one side of your driveway or garage. I mean, these are little things that sound kind of silly, but what they do is they give you the feeling that someone else lives with you, or at least spends time with you. All of these things remind you of your intention to have a relationship. But of course, it's not the empty drawer that's going to bring it into the physical, but your ability to have it, quote unquote, have it, know that it's yours, detach from it, be it, and just, you're just making space for when that person appears. You know, pick a space in your space, limit your living space. Whatever we desire exists within us, but we have to act with singleness of mind to demonstrate them. Time in the deep within fertilizes the soil for the seed of intention that is growing in your consciousness. And that time is priceless. It's an investment. Action steps are investments in your desire. They show that you're serious and they yield results. Don't spend time in meditation. Invest time in meditation. Invest your attention and things that lift you up, that inspire you, because they create beautiful space in your space and they attract beautiful things. And I want to just end with a really lovely couple of paragraphs, I guess, from Ernest Holmes and his book, The Creative Mind and Success. He wrote, "In the center of your soul, choose what you want to become, to accomplish. Keep it to yourself. Every day in the silence of absolute conviction, know that it is now done. It is just as much done as far as you're concerned as it will be when you experience it in the outer. Imagine yourself to be what you want to be. See only that which you desire. Refuse to even think of the other. Stick to it. Never doubt. Say many times a day, I am that thing. Realize what this means. It means that the great universal power of mind is that, and it cannot fail. We cannot escape the fact that we are made in such a way that at every step, life is a constant choice. What we do need to do is to select what we feel to be right and know that the universe will never deny us anything. We choose and mind creates. We should endeavor to choose that which will express always a greater life. And we must remember that spirit is always seeking to express love and beauty through us. If we attune to these and are working in harmony with the great creative power, we need have no doubt about its willingness to work for us. We must know exactly what it is that we wish and get the perfect mental picture of it. We must believe absolutely that we now have it and never do or say anything that denies it. There's no way under heaven whereby we can think two kinds of thought and get only one result. It's impossible. And the sooner we realize it, the sooner we shall arrive. All is mind, and we must provide a receptive avenue for it as it passes out through us into the outer expression of our affairs. If we allow the world's opinions to control our thinking, then that will be our demonstration. If, on the other hand, we rise superior to the world, we shall do a new thing." Bam. Wow. Thanks, everybody, for being here. That was a powerful ending. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I wish you a very, very blessed week, everyone. Please stay tuned to Katie Weaver. Bye-bye.